T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is time for our regular weekly visit with New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. It's brought to you by Town Fair Tire. You can follow Willie on Instagram and Twitter at Willie McGinnis. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing great, good. Thank you. You know, I don't care what level you're playing at or who you're playing against. When you've played 7 football games, you're giving up 6.9 points a game, and your defense has scored as many touchdowns as you've given up this year, you can't play much better than that, can you?
No, you can't, man. And I laugh at some of the people saying, well, they're not playing anybody. Well, these are all NFL teams. And when you wear that target on your back from being a defending Super Bowl champion, teams are going to come out regardless of their record or how they've been playing in the past and play their best football, because that's how you hype it up in the locker room with your team. So they've been getting teams best. They've been finding a lot of different ways to win. And, I mean, this defense is just playing out of their minds right now. And when you talk about complementary football and the offense is doing well, they're scoring a lot of points, and they'll figure that out. You saw them trade for Mohamed Sanu. N'Keal Harry hopefully will get back on the field. They'll get healthy. And as long as they got the defense playing like this, that's what gives them a chance every single week to go out and win football games.
Willie, what do you make of the Michael Bennett situation? Because he had been playing less and less each week and then, of course, did not play last night. It was a team suspension. And they, oh, by the way, had one of their best defensive performances without him, so hard to make a case for a whole lot more playing time for him. What do you make of it, and how do you see it playing out?
Well, he's got a different system that he's got to figure out how to fit into, and a different style of what the Patriots is asking him to do. And I know it's tough when you come to a new team and you're used to doing things a certain way for so long. But when you come to New England, they expect you to do your job a certain way and fit into their style and what their system is asking of you. So I think he's trying to figure that out. Not sure what happened, why the suspension occurred or took place. That's between, Bennett and the Patriots or whatever happened there. But I will say that he's a talented player. He can help this team if he decides that he wants to go out and buy in. He can help this defense because I still think he's a really good player.
There is no one who's played in the National Football League who doesn't have courage. You can't play this game at that level without being courageous. That having been said, Sam Darnold looked afraid at times last night, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about afraid. It's just probably confused. The Patriots, when they play a young, inexperienced quarterback, they do a lot up front. They blitz. They give you blitz zones. They give you man zones. They move the back end. They disguise. They make it tough for you. And when you don't have a lot of weapons, which the Jets don't offensively, it makes it tough. It makes it hard. And we know that they're still building offensively. Don't have a lot of players to put around Sam, but that's unfortunate for him. He's got to deal with it. The Patriots wasn't going to ease up. They wasn't going to slow things down. And, Belichick and his defense is going to make you figure it out. And there's not a lot of time because of all that pressure and things that are happening in front of you. So he did not look good. He looked good a week ago, did not look good last night.
How would the teammates look at him after a performance like that? Would they lose faith in him, or would they say, hey, that's a great defense, and he's a young guy, and he's going to bounce back?
I think both. I mean, he's a franchise quarterback there. They love Sam Darnold there. I think we all go through those type of games where we just have a terrible game, and, you want to take the football and bury it out in the backyard and forget about it. He'll definitely bounce back, but you'll see a trend going forward with every team they play now, because it's a copycat lead. They're going to come out. They're going to throw those man zone blitzes. They're going to put pressure. They're going to disguise. have the back end, and they're going to force him to make plays. So I think for the New York Jets, they've got to slow the game down for him. They can't get Bass happy. But you become one-dimensional when you get behind. But you got to run the ball, shorten the game for him a little bit, and you got to put some weapons around Sam Darnold. He needs help.
Before the game last night, Tom Brady did an interview with Randy Moss, and he was asked to describe the season so far. He said one word, defense. And then he admitted that he's a little frustrated, I'm paraphrasing here, that the offense hasn't kind of carried their part of the bargain here. With the addition of Mohamed Sanu and what you saw last night, are you starting to see the germ of this offense picking up the slack a little bit?
Yeah, you know, Tom, he's so competitive, man, and he expects for not only him but the offense to play at a certain level. And when you're not doing that, or you don't, or he doesn't feel like they're doing that, he's going to put the pressure on everybody. Guys are injured. You know, at the receiver position, he needs guys. Philip Dorsett came back. Edelman is out there playing well. Ben Watson is there. They got Mohamed Sanu. Nikhil Harry hopefully will be off of IR, getting ready to go soon, and they'll get this offense going. The offensive running backs are playing phenomenal. Devlin, you know, he's out. So they want to be playing at a high level. They want to hold their part. It's all about complementary football in New England. The defense has been playing great. And I think when you talk about team wins and team football, it's not always going to be an offense going out scoring 50 points. Sometimes you're going to need the defense to go out and shut somebody out and win an ugly football game, or the special teams to step up like they did in Buffalo and win a close game 13-6. Or sometimes the defense may struggle, which we haven't seen this defense really struggle, but sometimes when I played the defense, we struggled, and we needed Tom and those guys to go out and score 30 points, 35 points to bail us out. It's complementary football. It's not really about the numbers and the statistics. It's all about the win, and they're finding different ways to do that week in and week out.
It sounds like it's a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Is that too much, or is that about right? What did you think of the compensation?
Listen, we're never going to question the moves that this organization makes when it comes to bringing players in. If you look at the history of free agents and guys that they've traded for or given up picks and guys that they've bought in, you'll see the success rate. So I'm never going to question any of those moves. He's a veteran. Sanu is a veteran receiver. I think he can come in and help this team. It'll take him a quick minute, hopefully, to learn the system and what they're going to ask him to do, because Josh Gordon is out as well. So he's a big body that's fast, that can extend plays down the field, that can run routes, and hopefully, you know, he can come fit right in and make a difference.
What's it going to be like for him? He says on Twitter he's on his way here now. They don't practice today, so he'll get on the field with his teammates tomorrow. Can he get up to snuff by Sunday and be ready to go against Cleveland?
Well, maybe. He won't have the entire playbook at his disposal. It's not going to happen in a couple of days, but they will find a role for him. We saw it happen with Antonio Brown when he came in. Limited plays, limited routes. They'll ask him to do certain things as he builds his rapport with the playbook and learn the playbook. So I'm not going to say he's going to learn everything in under a week. They ask you to do so many different things, you know, different every single week. So he'll absorb the playbook, but they will have a role for him.
Willie, did you get a chance to see Tom Brady's cameo in Paul Rudd's new Netflix show?
I have not.
So I will simplify it for you. He is walking out of a massage parlor called Top Happy Spa with a big smile on his face. It got a lot of attention around here. He says no way is it a shot at Robert Kraft. What do you think Robert Kraft's reaction would be, though, to that?
I have no response for that. And, you know, I don't think Tom would do something like that. Knowing Tom and knowing their relationship, they're very close. They're very tight. And that's just something that I don't even think Tom would even think about.
What do you think Baker Mayfield was thinking about as he watched the game last night?
Well, I think Baker's going to have to figure out how to go out and be productive offensively. He's going to have to be precise. He can't make a lot of mistakes. The ball's going to come out, have to come out of his hands. He's got to be a good decision maker. He's definitely going to have to run the football or try to run the football against this defense. And when he gets a little tricky with the football, or you make errant throws, it's going to turn into a turnover.
Is there a team that jumps out to you as the second best team right now in the AFC? You know, Baltimore had a really impressive win on Sunday. Indy had an impressive win. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes down for a few weeks, but it doesn't look like the season. Is there one team right now that you think is the second best behind New England?
Yeah, I mean, and it's early. It's really early. I mean, it's still 7 weeks in, and teams will get healthy. Guys will bounce back. Teams will start to find their stride. I do like Baltimore. I think they're doing a great job playing complimentary football. It's hard to game plan for Lamar Jackson. Kansas City will get back on their feet. Andy Reid's, he's a great offensive coach. He'll put Moore in a position to go out and try to sustain, not be Pat Mahomes, but sustain the offense. They have a lot of weapons around him, so they'll get back in stride. Indianapolis looks really, really good. A team that's going out playing good defense. They're running the ball. Jacoby Brissett continues to impress every single week. And there's a couple other teams that is going to just start to figure it out and put it together and come out of nowhere. So, like I said, it's 7 weeks in. There's still a lot of time. And it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out in a few weeks.
You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, at Willie McGinnis. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Willie.
Willie McGinnis joining us, as he does every Tuesday. Manish Mehta, who I mentioned, had kind of a tough day yesterday. He had a case of the sads.
Or did he, though? People are talking about him. He knows what he's doing.
So he tweets out a few minutes ago, Adam Gase's offensive rankings for the New York Jets.
I would say they're probably quite poor.
Rushing, 30th.
He spent a little bit of money on Le'Veon Bell.
Passing, 32nd.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Scoring, 32nd.
I thought he was an offensive genius.
Total offense, 32nd.
There's 32 teams for those of you who...
keeping score at home. And they're scoring by game this year. 8, 3, 0, 6, 24. That was the Cowboys.
24?
0.
Where did that come from?
41 points in 6 games. They're averaging 6.8 points per game. Coincidentally, the Patriots' defense is allowing 6.9 points per
game. And to be fair, I mean, they're bad no matter how you slice it. They did have a third-string quarterback who was no longer in the league play like half of those
better
games.
Better than the first-string quarterback.
He did, at least in that game he did. But that's not Sam Darnold for 7 games because obviously the game against Dallas, he looked pretty good, and those numbers wouldn't be the way that they are. But that's one of the things, and we've gone through it, and all year you can look at the worst quarterbacks in the league based on quarterback rating. The Patriots have played, I think, almost all of them already. But one of the common denominators is they've played against the Patriots and they have had horrible games against the Patriots, which have really submarined those numbers. And that's going to continue on Sunday against Baker Mayfield. And then I'm really looking forward to it. The game against Baltimore is now the game of the regular season in my mind. And that is sort of shifted.
We thought it was going to be Kansas City.
We all thought it was going to be Kansas City. And then maybe the next one might have been Cleveland. I mean, I was really high on Cleveland. Then you're looking at maybe Dallas. But no, I think it's Baltimore. I think with what Lamar Jackson has done.
2 weeks.
2 weeks away.
Which, coincidentally, is the first time N'Keal Harry is eligible to play.
So, we'll see if he, I don't know, especially with the addition of Mohamed Sanu, might be tough for him to break through. Plus, Jacoby Myers has looked pretty good. It'll all depend on the health of Josh Gordon. Good to see Philip Dorsett back last night and looked pretty good.
Looked good.
Nice touchdown and everything else. And obviously Edelman.
Didn't quite get to the 10 catches I was predicting.
Just barely under.
That one off the face mask
that
on
helped,
the first
yeah.
one. Yeah. Probably
that'll
Tom
wake you up,
going,
though.
Really?
That'll wake you up. What did he finish with?
Three or four.
3 for 18. But you know what? Still a positive improvement from the previous tight end.
Better than what they'd had. And blocking
had a catch.
Was good.
Yeah.
You know, the one around end where
one
he was
the Michelle
lead
touchdowns.
Blocker.
He had a good block on that. Oh, speaking of block, Jacoby Myers had a great block on one of the plays, too. So he's kind of putting it all together. But the running game, it needs to get going a little bit.
Time to talk to New England Patriots running back James White. It's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance and Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, and by Feldman Land Surveyors, right from the ground up. Good morning, James. How are you?
doing good. How are you?
Good, great, thank you. The offense looked like it was a step up from what we had seen here of late, especially that opening drive. How did you assess how the offense performed last night?
Well, I know we wanted to get off to a fast start versus division opponent on the road. I think we did that, and you know, we just tried to keep the foot on the gas for four quarters. And obviously, there's still things we need to improve on, but I thought it was a good way to go out there and get a big win.
On that pass up the sideline, did you think you were gone on that?
Yeah, I did. I definitely thought I was.
I thought so, too.
That's one of the worst feelings, but it happens.
Oh, my God, it happens every single week. You see it with everybody all the time. But, like, when you see it right in front of you and then you just get hit and just in the right way and then you step out of bounds. I mean, but was that something that you guys knew that you could – obviously, you're a huge part of the passing game every single week, but was that something going into this matchup in particular? I think when you look at the defensive line for the Jets, it's very good, even though the team has been struggling this year. They have a lot of big-name guys up front. Was attacking them that way something that even before the game started you knew you guys were going to be doing?
I mean, honestly, we do whatever it takes to win, and whatever's flowing, you know, once we get started out there, that's what we're going to do, whether it's running the ball, passing the ball. And we got a lot of different guys make some plays for us. So, I mean, that's what it's best for our offense, and everybody's touching it, and everybody's, you know, going out there competing and giving their best.
You've got a new player who will be joining your team today and presumably on the practice field tomorrow. What is involved in the entire offense helping a guy like Mohamed Sanu get up to speed as quickly as he can?
I mean, for us, I mean, when he gets in the building, that's when I know it's actually confirmed and whatnot. But he's a good football player, and when he gets here, we'll do whatever we can to help him, you know, learn the offense as fast as possible.
So sort of speaking to that same point, I mean, last night you have two new tight ends. He played six games with two tight ends. Both of those guys were hurt. So Ben Watson and Eric Thomason get thrown in there. How did you feel that those guys were able to do in their debuts?
Oh, they did well to come in on the 1 week. And, you know, Ben was obviously here during training camp and stuff, but in the short week and learning everything and going out there and playing well, making some plays for us, blocking and adjusting to the different looks that the Jets gave us is really impressive what those guys did for us. They were a big help.
You had snaps from the fullback position from Roberts and Ferentz and Watson and Tomlinson. How hard is it for those guys to take on an additional responsibility in the offense like that?
I mean, I think you just do it out there on the practice field and you show the coaches that you have confidence in doing it. You can go out there and execute it. So it's not that hard for those guys. I think we have a bunch of smart and dependable football players and do whatever the coaches need them to do. So I don't think it's too hard for those guys.
Damien Harris got his first four career carries last night. And I know we talked about this in the last couple of weeks or so, but kind of similar to your rookie year where you never really knew when you were going to get that opportunity. Is that something – it's got to be challenging, though, for a guy, both you then and for Damien Harris now, probably thinking, you know, I could probably help the offense a little bit more, but just not knowing when your number is going to be called.
That's definitely not easy. I mean – we conversate all the time. I always tell him I was in the same boat, pretty much the exact same boat as him, and just practice hard and, you know, show the coach that you're studying up on everything and that you're in shape. Just do whatever you can because you never know when that opportunity may call, whether somebody goes down or whether they just think your time is now. So, I mean, he'll just keep working, and I know he'll be ready whenever his time comes.
I was watching college football Saturday.
Oh, boy. Dale, come on.
I mean, I'll say this. That's as big a win as Illinois's had in 25 years.
Ever. Yeah.
But for Wisconsin, it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to them, man. They played well. We didn't, and they capitalized on it for sure. So it's a huge win for them.
James, congratulations on the win last night. Getting to 7-0. Get ready for Cleveland next week. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
James.
James White joining us.
You had to bring it up. He's been riding high all year.
We bring it up every week.
No, they always win every week. They always smack around teams every week. This week, not so much.
Wasn't a big fan of the slate gray Illinois uniforms, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, those weren't great. I mean, Illinois, you don't think football with Illinois at all.
Even with Lovie Smith on the sidelines with his Santa beard.
Yeah. No, not great. What did they fall to? I think Wisconsin's now 13th. Yeah,
that was a tough one for them.
That was That was tough.
It's our one opportunity to talk college football, you know, and James usually appreciates that opportunity.
Oh, shoot, they're playing Ohio State this weekend, too. So there's either a chance. Well, you go into Ohio State and you win, you're going to fly back up the polls, or more likely, you'll lose. That Ohio State team is loaded.
617-779-7937. We have wrapped up our football guests. We've talked to Daron Harmon and Willie McGinnis and James White. That means we give you the opportunity to dive back into the conversation. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Anything when there's an official announcement.
Hey, Dale. Morning.
Henry, how you doing?
Good, thank you. I wondered if you could confirm the trade for Mohamed Sanu. There have been reports about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to confirm anything. When there's an official announcement to be made, if there is one to be made, we'll make it. I would just say in general, you know, anytime there's a transaction for a player, there are always a number of steps that, you know, have to be completed. And so at whatever point in time we have a transaction to announce, we'll announce it.
In this particular case, I'm going to defend Belichick, and he just gave you the key line there at the end. There are a number of steps that have to take place. First of all, he's got to pass physical, and he's on his way here, according to Sanu. But they've also got some roster maneuvering they have to do to be able to get this thing done. As it stands right now, they don't have the salary cap room to add him. So there's some massaging that they have to do, whether that means cutting a player, whether it means turning his salary for this season into a signing bonus, which lowers his cap number. But those are things that actually have to be done.
Yeah, and he's not on the team officially yet. That one's fine. It was like the Josh Gordon one we joked about last year.
When he was on the practice
field.
Yeah,
that one was a little ridiculous. Like, all right, what are we doing here? But this one's fine, because then if the thing somehow does fall through, and he's commenting on him, he doesn't want to do that. So I don't really care.
I mean, God forbid he shows up and flunks the physical, let's say.
He'll have plenty of opportunity to talk about him, so I'm not really all that worked up about him. But that's what it is. Mohamed Sanu for a second-round pick. He was one of the names that we had been talking about for a long time. Wiggy, in fact, brought him up weeks ago as the guy that he was looking at. We took a look at all the bad teams, and the Falcons are certainly one of them. We said, all right, what receiver, maybe a veteran receiver, would be likely to go? And the two names that we kept focusing on were Emmanuel Sanders and Mohamed Sanu. In my opinion, Emmanuel Sanders is better than Mohamed Sanu. And I also think a second-round pick is kind of high, isn't it?
Well, John, let's go to Schefter number two first, please. We're doing this on the fly, as you can tell. We produced this program live on the air. It gives it a little different feel.
That's right.
So Adam Schefter was asked about, you know, the price tag for Mohamed Sanu and the fact that it was a second-round pick.
Well, that's the market. I believe that if the Patriots weren't going to pay that price, I think that other teams, I don't know if they would go to a two, but again, keep in mind, the Patriots two is like a three to other teams, right? So that's the price of doing business. And the Falcons, if New England wasn't going to step up, there would have been other teams that would have stepped up. There are enough other teams seeking wide receiver help. And so that was what New England was going to have to pay to get this guy. And New England's wanted this guy, and New England finally has this guy. And I would imagine he'll make his debut Sunday for the Patriots against the Browns.
So, I hate.
I know. Yeah, that one always drives you
nuts. It drives me nuts. Oh, it's like a three. Well, if it's like a three, they should have traded him a three. And I guess they don't have a three anymore. They traded that. But,
yeah.
but my point is, we hear that all the time. Like when the Patriots traded the number one pick for Brandon Cooks a couple years ago, well, it's like a two. Nope, not a two. It's a one. Just like this. It might be the last pick of the second round. It's still a second round pick. So I'm sorry. I don't like that part of it. And he said it's the going rate, and then he follows it up by saying, I don't think anybody else would have done a two. So that means they overspent on him in that regard. I'm glad they have him. They needed to get a veteran receiver, so I have no problem with bringing him in the player. I just thought a two seemed really high
for
Mohamed Sanu.
I will say this, and he does bring up a good point in this regard. This is a guy that Bill Belichick has wanted for a while now. He tried to acquire him in 2016. He reportedly tried to acquire him this past spring. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy that they've been high on for a while. They've wanted to get in the building.
Right. They probably got sick of negotiating like a fourth or a fifth or whatever. Like, all right, fine, here's a second and take it. Which, again, I can't on the one hand preach you got to go for it in Tom Brady's window and then also be worried about second round picks.
Well,
so ultimately, I'm fine with it.
He also is not a free agent. He's got next year under contract as well. So maybe they thought, because we've still got him under contract beyond this year, it's worth a little more to us.
And maybe this year, I guess it's the market is different than it was a year ago. But if you want to do a sort of a comp, in season last year, Golden Tate got traded.
Right.
I think Golden Tate is better than Mohamed Sanu. I think most people would say Golden Tate is better than Mohamed Sanu. And Golden Tate went for a third-round pick. And now this year, Mohamed Sanu goes for a second-rounder. It seems like a lot, but you know what? If he goes in and helps you win a Super Bowl, well, then suddenly, you know, it's certainly all worth it.
Do you reconsider the tariff to acquire Sanu if you think Tom Brady's gone at the end of the year? And this all came up last night.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter appearing on the pregame show on ESPN last night. He was also on the Greg Hill show this morning and trying to put all the pieces together here.
When we talk about Tom and his future, let's look at some simple things. Has he put his home for sale?
Yeah, but...
Hold on, Steve. Has he put his home for sale? Yes. Has his trainer put his home for sale? Yes. Has he set up his contract to void after the season to become a free agent? Yes. So if he's selling his home and his trainer's selling his home and he's voiding his contract, what does that tell you?
It tells you that he's now...
So Greg Hill had this thing he's been reporting for a couple of days now. That Greg Hill's source is that Brady and Giselle have either purchased or in the process of purchasing a home in Greenwich, Connecticut.
It's New England.
I understand
it's
that.
It's also New York, basically.
But I mean, if he is gone at the end of the year,
yeah,
I'm going to guess he's not going to play for the Giants or the Jets.
Well, the Jets could use a quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm going to guess it's probably not going to be there.
Right.
We'll play the game out. You've been saying Tennessee all along.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't going to be living in the house in Greenwich and commuting to Tennessee every day.
Right. No, I thought the home for sale was much more overblown than the contract. The contract thing is significant.
Sure,
that is very
absolutely
important, and that is just giving him a little bit more leverage. Doesn't mean he doesn't come back, but it just opens the door for the first time in, oh, I don't know, 20 years
right.
for the idea that he could be gone. The house thing, I think people spent way too much time on the house thing. People move all the time. Remember, he had a huge place in California for a while. Did he play for one of the California teams?
Not once.
There's a lot of teams out there.
He's got a number of homes. He's got one in Montana. He's got one
they don't live
Costa
like,
Rica.
They don't live like we live.
No.
It's a little different
he's
lifestyle.
He's got a place in New York City.
And even if he sold all of his houses, he could get a pretty sweet place for 6 months of the year or whatever it might be. You know, so I never got all hot and bothered by the house thing. So it's weird to hear, you know, one of the best info guys in the NFL, Adam Schefter, dwell on that. Like, he's brought that up before. Like, he was on, I don't know if it was on with Greg Hill before or if it was just on one of those ESPN shows where he was really hammering the point that he sold his house. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? I'm like, I don't know. He wants a new house. Tells you that they're
moving.
And by
the way, he hasn't sold the house. It's on the market.
They lowered the price, though, so they are aggressive
sellers. So it's approaching our territory now.
We want to pool our money. We can split it. You get it for half the year.
Well, let's be honest. We wouldn't even run into each other in this thing.
That's a good point. We could all live there. Shine, what do you say? You want to live in Brady's house with us?
I'd love to.
Okay, good.
That'd be amazing.
I'll get you a wing. Give your own wing.
Man, I just need. I bet the doghouse would be better than my
that
bedroom
she
right
shed.
Now.
You have that she shed out there.
Oh no, I want the she shed.
All right, fine. Dale's got dibs in the she shed. Apparently,
that's fine. As long as I get a spot in the driveway, I'm good.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing he was talking about were reports out there, unconfirmed, that Alex Guerrero has put his house in Norfolk up for sale. I've also heard Alex actually has a couple of places.
So are these guys a package deal in life now? Like, are they just going to live in the same
town? I mean, that's what Adam's going with.
As he says, like, well, his trainer's selling his house. Okay. So he's always going to live next to Brady? I mean, maybe he will. Obviously, the TB12 thing is going to be going long even after Brady is done playing.
And he just did open up this mega TB12 outlet right on Newbury Street.
Yeah, right. But you know that they would probably love to open ones in other places,
sure,
too.
Sure, he said that.
Right. So whether it be, you know, Chicago or L.A. or wherever else, I think they're going to start to pop up.
Adam got a little smarmy with Wiggy.
You know,
this
I didn't
morning.
Like how he treated Wiggy today. He was really kind of, he was like Dan Housley with Brady. Yeah, I didn't like the tone necessarily. He's kind of putting him in his place a little bit.
Now, we probably don't have it. We'll pull it for you in a little bit, because at the end of that whole Schefter piece where he basically was telling Steve Young, shut up, Steve, I'm talking here. Randy Moss had a little line at the end of it as well, okay, where he kind of debunked it based on...
Yeah, I'm not going there. Now, this whole thing could still play out where Brady does go somewhere else, and then that's when Adam Schefter and others can say, see, told you, we should have known, we should have followed the house thing. But I'd focus more on the contract. It's sort of saying, how is he playing at the end of this year, and will the Patriots commit multiple years to him? I think it's as simple as that.
Because they are not allowed, under the terms, they cannot franchise him. They can't automatically lock him up. That was the part that jumped out at us.
And that's what makes it really interesting. Does Brady accept a one-year deal, or do the Patriots offer a 42-year-old, soon-to-be 43-year-old at the time, do they offer him a two-year deal? That's what I think it's going to come down to.
And it's funny, there's so much drama surrounding this whole Brady-Belichick-Kraft relationship, you know, going back to the Netflix thing, and is Tom taking a shot at Robert Kraft? Is Kraft mad at Tom Brady?
Yeah.
And then you've got this to add to it. It's just like one little soap opera going on here.
It is. It always is. They are the most interesting team in the NFL. They're the best team in the NFL. And there's always a major storyline with them. Think about it. Every season, there's always something. And this year, between Robert Kraft in the offseason, and again, this is the team that just won the Super Bowl. So just being the defending Super Bowl champs, I think, would be story enough. Like, how do they defend their Super Bowl title? But nope. You have everything going on with Robert Kraft. You bring in Antonio Brown. You have Tom Brady doing this Netflix special, then getting all defensive about it. Could be Tom Brady's last year. There's the Gronk stuff that keeps popping up every once in a while. Oh, by the way,
Brady talked about that with Randy Moss.
Yes, he did.
Last night.
Yeah, he did. And then, oh, by the way, this might be the best defense they've ever had. So, yeah, it's
Well, right now it is the best defense they've ever had. At this stage, seven games in,
yeah,
they have never come close to what this defense is doing.
No, not the stats. And I guess we could go back and look at 04 and see, you know, what kind of quarterbacks they were playing that year. Because they don't always play, you know, all-pro quarterbacks every year. But this has been a pretty bad run of competent quarterbacks. Because we were making a case yesterday before the show that Sam Darnold was the best one that they have faced. And he may still be, and they just made him look that bad. But he was so atrocious yesterday. But it does pick up. I mean, you know, we've been talking about their schedule all year long, and it does start to pick up. You're going to get some real offenses, some real quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson, probably Patrick Mahomes, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson. So you're going to get tested. It just hasn't happened yet.
Boston Sports Info's got the details. Through the first seven games of the season, the only comparison for the Patriots at this point, defensively, is the 85 Chicago Bears and the 2000 Baltimore Ravens.
Those were good defenses.
Really good.
As far as I remember.
So the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, through their first seven games, gave up 75 points.
And I want to say like 30 of them were against Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith. I'm telling you, I don't know why I remember that so well, but they...
Brunell scored 36 against
36.
Them.
Yeah, and Jimmy Smith had like three or four touchdowns. He was off the charts.
They didn't play Jimmy Smith in the first seven games. I've got the game-by-game here.
Jacksonville, right?
Yes. Mark Brunell had the 36.
Jimmy Smith.
And the quarterbacks they played in the first seven games were Kent Graham, Mark Brunell, Jay Fiedler, Scott Mitchell, Tim Couch, a combination of Mark Brunell and Jamie Martin and Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, the 85 Chicago Bears, through seven games, gave up 105 points. Think about that for a minute. That's 30 more than the Ravens gave up. The 85 right. Chicago Bears, the quarterbacks they played in the first seven games were Steve DeBerg, Tony Eason, Tommy Kramer, Joe Theismann, Steve DeBerg, Joe Montana, and a combination of Randy Wright, Lynn Dickey, and Jim Zorn.
So they played Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And then the Patriots through the first seven games. Now remember, Ravens gave up 75. Bears gave up 105.
Mm.
Patriots have given up 48.
Crazy.
48. The Ravens' point differential their year through seven games was 53.
Wow.
The Bears' point differential was 107. The Patriots' point differential is 175. Not only is this the best Patriots defense ever,
it's knocking on the door.
You are
best
now
ever.
Talking yeah. about, if this continued on, the best defense in the history of the league.
Yeah.
And the Patriots quarterbacks, again, to repeat, Roethlisberger, a combination of Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen, Luke Falk, a combination of Josh Allen, Matt Barkley, Colt McCoy, Daniel Jones, and Sam Darnold.
I mean, that's atrocious.
Yes.
But it's going to greatly improve coming up. Going to greatly improve. You're going to probably play the MVP of the league from last year. You're going to play, I would think, a handful of Pro Bowlers coming up. So it's gonna look better. You know, some years past where they've gone through and you say, wow, you know, you go into the playoffs and like, well, they haven't really played any good quarterbacks. They will. It just hasn't happened yet.
And the reason, by the way, that so many people were calling the game last night for the Patriots, you know, one of their first real tests, because even though you played Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger in game one, as it turns out, we ultimately learned that he was hurt. He ended up, you know, being gone right after that. So it wasn't really Ben Roethlisberger. It was some, you know, shadow of Roethlisberger. And everybody thought Darnold was going to be their first real quarterback test.
Because of the game he just had. Right, yeah, that's why. Because they beat the Cowboys.
Against the Cowboys.
So you're like, oh, okay. Because if this was Sam Darnold, if he actually got the start back in week three, or if this was his first game off of mono, maybe you'd say, well, just add him to the list. But you'd sort of convince yourself that, here we go, as William McGinnis called him, he's their franchise quarterback. He's at least their starter. That list that you just went through, a lot of second and third string guys, he is at the very least their starter. But they made him look like a guy that shouldn't even be on the practice squad.
617-779-7937. We do get back to the calls with you coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Rob Gronkowski has not submitted his retirement papers. Have you been texting or anything about Gronk coming back to the team?
Well, I do talk to him. I mean, he's a great friend. You know, I see him doing some things that he's really wanted to do.
Right.
And I think the thing for me is he's happy. And honestly, that's all I want for him.
Right.
So if happy to him is playing football one day, then I would love that.
Right.
If happiness is not, then I would love that too. Amazing having him. But I also realize it was amazing having you, and it doesn't last forever.
So that was Tom Brady pregame last night in his rather long conversation with Randy Moss. And
he wants Gronk back.
Well, he certainly didn't, you know, debunk the notion of Gronk returning. He just and look, I honestly don't believe that Brady or anybody else on the team is texting Gronk saying, hey, come on. How about it, big fella? You ready?
No, I think that was actually a pretty honest answer, and I think it helps. You know, you got Randy Moss there talking
to
him.
They would love to have him back.
Right, and he even, you know, was talking about how, you know, you love playing with a guy, but then that time is up, and he even mentioned it with Randy. Now, Randy didn't last nearly as long as with Gronk, and there are other reasons and other factors there, but, you know, he wants Gronk to be happy, but he's not going to – of course you would want him back. Like, that's obvious. But he knows that Gronk is sort of – at least I think he knows that Gronk has kind of moved on. And, you know, kind of focused on this team. So, yeah, of course he would welcome him back. Everybody in that locker room would welcome him back, but they're not begging him to play.
I don't think they're bothering
him retired. About it. He retired. He's got other things going on right now.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Ryan's in Connecticut. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I'm trying to stay not long-winded on this because I really want to hear what you guys have to say about this. But this is about Mohamed Sanu. So, the Patriots now have an abundance of number twos. So they don't have, you know, the Antonio Brown thing, the 2007 Patriots comparisons. I thought that was way overblown. So they have Edelman. I think he's the best wide receiver ever, but I'm a homer, so that's a number two. Mohamed Sanu is a number two. Josh Gordon's a number two. So when you have all these number two, you know, we're not playing the 2013 Seahawks. The 2015 Broncos aren't walking through the door. None of these teams we're going up against have a incredibly deep cornerback. So when we go up against these teams, enough number twos will overmatch those teams, and you play a possession game. We don't need a win by 30. We don't need to score that. We have one of these Patriots teams that for once in a long time, we don't need to put 35 to win every game. So you have a defense that if you have a possession offense like the Patriots are building, you know, 12 yards here, 11 yards here, 8 yards here, you get these 8-minute drives, and it keeps the defense on the side. And our defense, with enough rest, will always be fresh. And they come in, and they are like a beehive to everything. They're just butchering teams. They are scary.
You do bring up a good point about, you know, how many points do you have to score offensively if the defense is playing the way these guys are?
Definitely not 30.
I said to Rich earlier, we were off the air, I said, it's at the point now where if you're going to get up and get a beer while you're watching a Patriots game, you do it when the offense is on the field.
Which is crazy, right? You'd never think that would ever be the case.
No.
With Brady. Just strictly because of Brady. Forget everybody else, you would say no. But, yeah, you don't want to miss the defense. And I also get the sense that, I know the offense has clearly scored more touchdowns than the defense, but in a game, if there was a game that was close, they've had one of those, and then they had, you know, one for like a time, you're thinking the defense might have just as good, if not a better chance of scoring. Like, whether
yes.
it's a fumble recovery or a pick or whatever, like, put
they
the defense
should have
on
had
the field.
Another one last
I
night.
I know it.
And
like, you just
Van
like,
Noy got touched by a toe.
I think that the caller might be even overstating some of the guys that they have. I don't know if they have a lot of number twos, if not more, a lot of number threes. Like, that was sort
of... Edelman's a legit number two, and...
Edelman might even be a one, right? Edelman's different, but Edelman's probably a one. But I just thought that was why, and not to dwell on it, but when Antonio Brown was here, it was clear now Gordon and Dorsett and Myers could fall into some sort of 3-4-5. Sanu has, you know, his career high, I think, is 60-something catches. His career high is like 800-something yards. His career high is 5 touchdowns. He's been in the league a long time. He was the number 3 receiver with the Falcons, and maybe even their 4th option because they throw to Hooper a lot. So I think he's more of a 3. It's more of a depth move to me. I would actually like to see them throw to Myers more than all of a sudden force Sanu into action so much. But it's you just don't want to see Gunnar Olszewski having to play offense, like that kind of thing. And a guy like Mohamed Sanu.
Too many offensive
snaps
for me. Yeah,
every time you see him in the huddle, you're like, no, get out of here. And it's funny, ESPN.
Which now you won't.
ESPN was clearly not prepared for Gunnar to play because you see when they sometimes put the personnel out there and they put like the names of all the guys, like the skill position guys, for Gunnar, it just said number 80. They didn't have like a name. Normally it's just like 84 Watson and like, you know, 28 White. It just said 80 because they were like, this guy shouldn't be playing.
Anybody know how to
and
spell
right.
this guy's
nope.
name?
Just no. write Gunner. Just write and say Gunner.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.